Vimes landed in damp straw and also in pitch darkness, although after a while his eyes became accustomed to the gloom and he could make out the walls of the dungeon. It hadn't been built for gracious living. It was basically just a space containing all the pillars and arches that supported the palace. At the far end, a small grill high on the wall let in a mere suspicion of grubby second-hand light. There was another square hole in the floor. It was also barred. The bars were quite rusty, though. It occurred to Vimes that he could probably work them loose eventually, and then all he would have to do was slim down enough to go through a 9-inch hole. What the dungeon did not contain was any rats, scorpions, cockroaches, or snakes. It had once contained snakes, it was true, because Vimes's sandals crunched on small, long white skeletons. He crept cautiously along one damp wall, wondering where a rhythmic scraping sound was coming from. He rounded a squat pillar and found out. The patrician was shaving, squinting into a scrap of mirror, propped against the pillar to catch the light. No, Vimes realised, not propped, supported, in fact, by a rat. It was a large rat with red eyes. The patrician nodded to him without apparent surprise.
"Oh," he said, "Vimes, isn't it? I heard you were on the way down. Jolly good. You had better tell the kitchen staff."
And here Vimes realised that the man was speaking to the rat.
"That there will be two for lunch. Would you like a beer, Vimes?"
"What?" said Vimes.
"I imagine you would. Pot luck, though, I'm afraid. Scripps people are bright enough, but they seem to have a bit of a blind spot when it comes to labels on bottles."
Lord Vetinari patted his face with a towel and dropped it on the floor. A grey shape darted from the shadows and dragged it away down the floor grill. Then he said, "Very well, Scripp, you may go." The rat twitched its whiskers at him, leaned the mirror against the wall and trotted off.
"You're waited on by rats," said Vimes.
"They help out, you know. They're not really very efficient, I'm afraid. It's their paws."
But, said Vimes.
"I mean, how?" "I suspect Scripps people have tunnels that extend into the university," Lord Vetinari went on, "although I think they were probably pretty bright to start with."
At least Vimes understood that bit. It was well known that thaumic radiations affected animals living around the unseen university campus, sometimes prodding them towards minute analogues of human civilization and even mutating some of them into entirely new and specialised species, such as the 303 bookworm and the wallfish. And as the man said, rats were quite bright to start with.
"But they're helping you," said Vimes. "Mutual. It's mutual. Payment for services rendered, you might say," said the patrician, sitting down on what Vimes couldn't help noticing was a small velvet cushion. On a low shelf, so as to be handy, were a notepad and a neat row of books. "How can you help rats, sir?" he said weakly. "Advice. I advise them, you know." The patrician leaned back. "That's the trouble with people like wants," he said. "They never know when to stop. Rats, snakes, and scorpions. It was sheer bedlam in here when I came. The rats were getting the worst of it, too." And Vimes thought he was beginning to get the drift.
"You mean you sort of trained them?" he said.
"Advised, advised." "I suppose it's a knack," said Lord Vetinari modestly.
Vimes wondered how it was done. Did the rats side with the scorpions against the snakes, and then when the snakes were beaten, invite the scorpions to a celebratory slap-up meal and eat them? Or were individual scorpions hired with the large amounts of whatever it was scorpions ate to sidle up to selected leading snakes at night and sting them? He remembered hearing once about a man who, locked up in a cell for years, trained little birds and created a sort of freedom. And he thought of ancient sailors, shorn of the sea by old age and infirmity, who spend their days making big ships in little bottles. Then he thought of the patrician, robbed of his city, sitting cross-legged on the grey floor in the dim dungeon and recreating it around him, encouraging in miniature all the little rivalries, power struggles and factions. He thought of him as a sombre, brooding statue amid paving stones, alive with slinking shadows and sudden political death. It had probably been easier than ruling Ankh, which had larger vermin who didn't have to use both hands to carry a knife. There was a clink over by the drain. Half a dozen rats appeared, dragging something wrapped in a cloth. They rat-handled it past the grill, and with great effort hauled it to the patrician's feet. He leaned down and undid the knot.